Corporation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great...
Gorgeous, George.
Here Pretty Blassie, the maker of...
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
WrestleMania.
You are fucking...
Hey, yo.
Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
My name is Laszlo.
And we'd be remiss to ignore the recent tragedy, the death of Scott Hall at the age of 63. Scott Hall went to a... He broke his hip. He went for hip surgery. He ended up having three heart attacks. Resulting in a blood clot. And just a few days ago, we're recording this 3/17, 2022. So 3/15, he was placed off of life support. He survived for about 5 hours on his own. But unfortunately, after those 5 hours, he just, his body just couldn't hold it anymore. And That was all. But at the end of the day, he will be remembered for the great things that he's done and the impact that he's had on many careers. So with that being said, the No Disqualification Podcast will offer a 10-bell salute for the late Scott Hall, also known as Razor Ramon. Survey says, that's one for the good guy. Let's get into One Night Stand 2008. San Diego, California, from the San Diego Sports Center. Buy rate was 194,000, and the attendance we're looking at is 9,961.
That's kind of low.
The sports arena normally holds about 12,000 or so, but I mean, if we look in production and stuff, I'm sure.
Staging.
Yeah, they're probably short 1,500 tickets, probably, I would say. But... who knows how that looks? This is, of course, promoted as the one night of the year where WWE goes extreme. This one night stand is the final one night stand pay-per-view WWE puts on.
Ever? You can't.
Started in 2005, it was ECW One Night Stand, and the ECW One Night Stand 2006. Then it became WWE One Night Stand with 2007, and 2008, of course, is what we're covering now. We'll go ahead and get into this part because this is the only one on our card and it'll open up our match anyways. The one death that we have from the show is the late, great Umaga. And now like we did with our previous episode that we covered, of course, it hasn't been released yet. It'll be released by the time this is released. But when we hit each of these people, I want you, Laz is going to have his 10 seconds. He's going to give me a 10-second opinion on each of these guys. Now, for future reference, once you've given the opinion once, you know, if Umaga is on the next episode we do, you don't have to cover Umaga again.
Okay.
It's for people you haven't spoken for.
Do you remember who I've spoken for already?
The NXT TakeOver 2020.
Oh, okay.
So, 2019. So, no, 2021. So, not. 2021. Yeah, so none of these guys.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to run down this entire card real quick, then we'll get into the matches.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Jeff Hardy.
High flyer, drug-addled, risks his body like crazy, is not afraid to take a bump or a dive. Hell of a wrestler. Inspirational.
Time. Umaga.
Tough.
10.
Scary. Would bite you if he had no other recourse. Could probably pick up, like if you had a flat, he could come lift up the car while you changed it. Like just big butt overweight.
Okay.
He's Samoan. What you going to do? He's got a weight problem.
Chavo Guerrero.
Listen, Chavo, great physique. This was the CM Punk. Oh, this is the state. Yeah, I don't have many opinions on him.
Okay. CM Punk.
In every man's body. He had a good physique this night. I hear he can be a crybaby behind the scenes, but I don't know him personally.
John Morrison.
Oh, boy. With the slow motion entrance. Yeah. I don't have anything on this guy. Nothing.
Okay.
Big Show.
Big Show looks like our homie Skylar Hopkins. You look up Skylar123 on Instagram. He looks just like him, but not as big. Split his face open in this match. It was he's a goer. He's a worker.
Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer is he's an ECW guy, Philadelphia guy. Tough as they come. Greatly enamored by Ric Flair's penis.
Yeah, wrong.
I'm not wrong.
JBL.
JBL, tough as nails, tough as a $2 steak, arrogant, mean, a bully, everything you want in a pro wrestling heel. But that cowboy hat, I would knock it clean off his head.
John Cena.
I can't see him. Was there someone in the ring with JBL that I couldn't see him? Obviously a legend, one of the greats, obviously.
Melina.
Melina, beautiful backside, rear end, tail, butt, what have you. Nice long wig. I'm liking the wig. Pretty face. I guess she had a good physique, not very skilled.
Beth Phoenix.
Beth Phoenix could knock you out with a right cross. Beth Phoenix looks like she, because I'm 155 pounds, she could pick me up over her head and body slam me, even if I'm not cooperating. That's a scary lady. Yeah.
Batista.
Batista, we got talking about this during the match. Would not, I hear he's liberal, so if we were out on the protest line and he got in my face screaming, I would back down. I'd be like, yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know.
Shawn Michaels.
I know he's cute. I think he's sexy. He's got the looks. And I gotta ask, like if you met Shawn Michaels, because I was talking to the guy the other day.
How often do you talk to Shawn? I'm curious.
Weekly, you know.
Weekly.
Weekly I talk to the guy.
What do you guys talk about?
Well, let me tell you.
Did he send you like voice messages and stuff?
He sent me a voice message. It was a little confusing, but I was like, you know, hey, what's up? What's up, Sean? He was like,
oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So that's his own opinion around himself. The Sean guy never stops talking, dude. I tell you what. Hey, so Sean, what did you think about your match with Batista? Oh, you stroke out, buddy? Yeah. That's Shawn Michaels' character.
That's some character.
What a cool cat.
What a cool, cool cat.
That's Randy Orton.
Duh, one of the greats. I mean, like, clearly, the pose, I know him. He's a jerk, but I like him.
Triple H.
He's got to go on my Mount Rushmore. If we got to do, he's got to. How many hour-long matches have I watched with you guys?
Good point.
I mean, like he broke his trachea.
Trachea.
I didn't know you could break them, and he did break it. It's
Edge.
Again, I never saw him look so young and so fresh and clean as I did tonight against the Underwhelmer. He's a star. He was a star, clearly.
The Undertaker.
I call him the Underwhelmer. I'm not impressed ever by him. I've never been impressed by him. He's an imposing character, big figure, but I find him boring.
All right, let's get into these matches.
Let's go.
Glad we get to run down this card with you and get your first-hand take on each individual.
Let's do it.
Jeff Hardy versus Umaga. This is Falls Count Anywhere.
Falls Count. So anywhere. Anywhere in the ring, anywhere. On outside, or next to a truck.
And as Jerry Lawler would say, well, Falls Count Anywhere, I mean, especially in the ring. Yeah, okay, well, not really especially anywhere because it's Falls Count Anywhere. Like, there's no especially anything. Dumbass. Pedophile. So, Jeff Hardy, Umaga. Jeff runs right into an elbow. Like he goes right after Umaga. Umaga just elbows him in the face.
Ah, makes the noise, sticks his tongue out. Umaga's a character, man.
He's one of the most underrated characters. There's rumors he might be in the Hall of Fame this year, and he's rightfully deserving so.
He's no longer with us.
He's right? MIA. He's the one person on the death count tonight.
Damn. Yeah. Right. And he also put a boot on the Steve-O's face. For real.
Rightfully so.
Well, Steve-O, hey, man, I didn't know I was supposed to play dead, man. So, like, when
you can't smoke crack before you shut the Raw.
So, when he got body slammed, he was supposed to lay there still with his eyes closed. And he was like, oh, dude, I just got stabbed. Oh, dude. And Omega.
Well, William Regal says Umanga.
Umanga didn't like it. Didn't like that. And you were disrespecting him by not selling
for me.
So, that's, you know.
Jeff Hardy hits a whisper in the wind, and Umaga does a spin-out side slam.
Which is an amazing move. If you get a guy that can do that to you, it's going to look good. That's an amazing move.
They fight over into the crowd, and then Umaga picks up a row of chairs.
A row of metal chairs.
And then drops them onto Jeff Hardy. They fight into towards Sean. What's up with Sean?
I don't know. He's spazzed out.
They fight over into the concession area here. And then they get to like a flight of stairs, and Umaga's kind of sauntering up the stairs. Jeff goes up to the top of the stairs real quick, and he slides down the railing and clotheslines Umaga, which was I thought was pretty.
That was a great spot. That was a railing slide slam. I would call it.
They work their way out over to the production area, which is the outside production area where the 18 wheelers are.
Yeah.
And. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Okay, well, Hardy's climbing up to the top of an 18-wheeler for some reason, and Umaga decides to grab it and follow him up the ladder. Umaga is like three times the size of Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
And Umaga's climbing up behind him, and he gets kicked. Oh! Oh! Kicked again. Oh! And then he falls off, but the camera had moved over. There were these crates that were aligned behind the truck, and the camera went to where you couldn't see where Umaga fell. And then we figure out why Jeff Hardy was climbing up to the top of the 18-wheelers, because wrestling's real, but it's predetermined, and he knew that he was going to do this spot. So he climbs to the top. He's like 15, maybe 20 feet in the air, okay? And does the double guns, woo, and then does the swanton off the top of the 18-wheeler. And lands somewhere that we can't see.
Yeah, until after the three is counted.
Until
cameraman shifts to the left. What do we see here?
We see Hardy laying on top of Omega and a crash pad that should have been slid more out of the frame, but it hadn't been. Look, I loved this match. I loved this match. This was a great match. I love this stuff. The Jeff Hardy sliding down the railing and throwing an elbow to Omega, mm-hmm. and Omega selling it. I mean, like, am I saying this right?
Umaga.
Umaga had respect in the locker room. People like they didn't look down their noses at that guy, even though he didn't have the traditional physique.
Yeah.
He paid his dues. So for him to sell, like, you just see what a star Jeff Hardy was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to be the curtain jerker at a pay-per-view. And it was probably one of the best matches of the night. I mean, the athleticism on Jeff Hardy's part, Umaga's toughness. But that was so horrible. The camera angle, the finishing spot, the camera angle. You couldn't see where they landed, and it was hidden by a bunch of crates. It was so frustrating, but still a great match. But one of the best matches of the card. This was amazing, and I broke my rule. What's your score for this match?
Three.
You give it a three?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, you didn't like it.
Who said I didn't like it?
Well, like it is four.
Okay, I think average is three. I think you're allowed to like things that are average.
Yeah, I look at my girlfriend.
I think she listens.
She's a little less than average, actually. I don't give half bells. I don't do that.
What are you going to do, brother?
I'm going to give it a five, but I got to chop it down because of that goddamn botch at the end, that camera botch. 4.5.
Okay.
I give this one a 4.5. This was a great match, bro. I love this. It was like Big Show, Kane, and Raven when they were trying to hit him with the golf cart. I love this. I love this wrestling. I love this. This is one. I wish I was here to see this in person.
Really?
Straight up facts. I'm not as bad as wishing I had seen New Jack versus Jack Victor. Steve Corino and Carino? Jack Victory.
New Jack!
Yeah, that was so great. The pop from the crowd when that music started. But this, I wish I was here to see this match. This was great. 4.5, man. Two stars, two legends. Great.
I give it a 3, man. It just didn't get where I wanted it to be. I felt like they could have done a little bit more.
Where would you have wanted it to be, man?
I want more violence. I want some chair shots. I want some kendo sticks.
There wasn't a whole lot of chairs.
I want some strippers on, little midget strippers on poles getting thrown around the ring.
I'm with you, but until you said midget, why do they have to be midgets?
Because they're being thrown around the ring.
Well, you know what? Now that you're with a midget, you're...
If you throw a normal-sized person around the ring, that's assault.
But a midget, it's cool.
Yeah, because they're not people.
You're right. And if you're with a female midget, your ding-dong will look huge.
What does that do with Umaga?
What do midgets have to do with Umaga?
Size.
Does it matter?
Come on, dude.
Does size matter?
Yes. Obviously. Look at the match. Jeff won.
Yeah, so size does not matter.
Yeah, because he had an 18-wheeler. He jumped off an 18-wheeler.
And he knew he was going to.
I'm just like, I mean, crash pad aside.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, jump off an 18-wheeler.
Okay.
All right, dude.
You perk.
Whatever you ask for. Give me a perk. Get in there, ref. all right, next match. We have Chavo Guerrero.
Versus CM Punk.
John Morrison.
John with Tommy Dreamer.
Big Show.
In a
bitch
Singapore
show.
Kane.
Singapore Kane on a pole match. But unlike other pole matches, once you get the thing down, normally the match ends, but like just use them. So like
they had a whole garbage can full of them.
I don't know what the point of
the poles. What?
They looked pretty, I guess. So they should have had all the everybody like stare out in the ring and put the trash can full of the canes in the middle. And be like, go.
It would have just been a blood fest.
And then start beating the shit with canes and trash cans. And
like, if you catch it on the break of the stick, you get your skin.
Yeah. You slice your throat open.
Slice your forehead open.
And the horrible thing about those is when you get hit with one, they open. And when they close back up. So, like, people are like, oh, yeah, it doesn't hurt that bad. Until you get – I mean, I had one. When we had our house – it wasn't like taped up like they have theirs, but it was like a old school Singapore cane type of thing, like a kendo stick. And
a kempo stick?
A kendo. And when I'd hit up against the wall, it'd open up, close, open up and close. I'm like, yo, that was my back, dude. Especially the way they take shots out of here.
Yeah. That's
Big Show clears the house on everyone.
He comes in, wrecks.
He literally just taunts some people left and right. But then everyone corners him and starts kicking the shit out of him. And while he's on the ground, everybody climbs up and grabs their Singapore. I'm just gonna call them kendo sticks. They grab their sticks or their canes, and then they start caning him in the middle of the ring. They just start beating him with a cane in the middle of the ring.
Say no pain, no gain. Well, no cane, that's pain.
Ooh,
hey, fuck.
And then there's like a Tommy Dreamer and CM Punk. Like they combine canes and like clothesline
out of the ring. They throw Big Show's big ass out of the ring, which looked cool. That was a good spot.
CM Punk is being attacked by Chavo, and then CM Punk ducks, and Chavo hits one of the baseball players for the Mariners.
Of the Seattle Mariners. This was insane.
I don't know who he was. I have no information on who he is. But they hit him, and then.
They hit him, and then like I was like, "Yo, they just hit a fan, bro! They just hit a fan."
And I was so confused. I didn't know. Like, I did not catch on to what you were saying. And then
he pops up, and he's holding.
He's like, "Let me hit him, man! Let me hit him!"
Yeah.
So CM Punk's like, and the crowd's like, "Yeah, let him hit him, man!"
So CM Punk tosses him a kempo stick
and just lays that in on Chavo.
Yeah.
And Chavo, if I remember, Chavo's MIA for the rest of the match.
I believe you're right.
He got hit with one stick, and he was done.
But he gave a spot to a baseball player. That's
probably that is, yeah.
Yeah.
But after this, so the Miz comes out and he's distracting Big Show. And when Big Show's chasing after him with the steps, John Morrison comes behind him and hits him in the knees with the kendo stick. So he drops. His head goes between the V of the steps here, and shoot, cuts his eye open.
Hits him. Yeah.
And you know instantly because he does the whole. I don't know if you've ever gotten a bump on your head or you got hit.
And you instantly grab it and you're kind of like rubbing it. And you're stomping your feet because
you're a little bitch boy. And then that's what the Big Show does. On the outside, he stands up and it's like the blood's gone. Instead of just being on his forehead, it's created a unibrow of blood and it's leaked into his mouth. And he has done what we need the Big Show to do. And that's just bust ours.
He was Super Saiyan. You could fit your pinky, the first knuckle of your pinky into this cup. It was bad.
Oh yeah. And then he grabs those kendo sticks, dude, and he just starts going off on everyone and just like beating and beating and beating until finally Tommy Dreamer is the only one left. And he chokeslams Tommy Dreamer, and Tommy Dreamer's dead, decrepit, Dick Flair loving body is just slowly standing back up. And Big Show pats him on the shoulder, takes the kendo stick, winds it up, and just cracks him over the head with it and pins him with his foot on his chest and the kendo stick straight up like he's Ash from Evil Dead with his boomstick.
Hell yeah.
Disrespecting Tommy Dreamer's whole damn life, which he should. Normally you give the fashion disses, but he's wearing white pants.
And a black shirt tucked in.
Get the hell out of here.
What are you doing?
Go home. I give it 3, though.
I gave it 3, man. I couldn't take my eyes off
it. I really did enjoy it.
It was a bloodbath.
There are matches on this card I expect to be better than this one, and this was better than them.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't expect it. Next here we have JBL versus John Cena in a first blood match. When you think of matches that don't get out of second gear, this is a match, in my opinion, never got out of second gear.
It was a good match.
It was good, but I'm just saying it didn't go the extra level. These guys have had bloodbath matches.
Yeah.
There was a match 2004, I think.
Late 2004. Was bloodbath back then?
Yeah, he was.
It was
2005. They had an I Quit match. John Cena, literally, from his hairline down to like the middle of his
– I've seen pictures.
Was just drenched with blood.
Yeah.
Like, they've had knockout drag. I mean, John Cena's FU JBL off the stage on top of the limo before. They've done wild stuff. I think they had like a bull rope match. I think they had a steel cage match, I Quit match. They've done so much. In hindsight, now, of course, you haven't seen their full collection of matches, but in hindsight, to me, it's like, what is this?
Okay.
This is PG era wrestling here.
Yeah.
But, man. You could have done so much more, but nonetheless, opening the match, JBL turns right around, takes off the turnbuckle pad, and then John Cena, show him up, doesn't untie it.
He rips
the turnbuckle pad off.
Yeah.
And he's like, come at me, bitch.
Let's go.
So they start swinging on each other for a little bit, but JBL gets control of Cena pretty quick, and that's something that you kind of always see whenever these two guys go head-to-head, and it's something I've always liked. It's a bit of continuity on when they wrestle. JBL will always get the upper, and it's also the heel face dynamic where the face always comes back at the end and does this thing.
Yeah,
but for the most part, they never really had matches that was always back and forth. John Cena's had matches that were back and forth, like him and Randy Orton, or him and Triple H, Shawn Michaels. JBL always beats the hell out of John Cena for literally probably about 95% of the match, and then John Cena will have his burst, and that's the same thing that happens here. Like, he's just laying into John Cena for like the majority of the match. He hits him over the head with a mic.
They both were hitting each other with the mic.
Yeah, and there's a moment where John Cena goes to hit him with a mic. He gets kicked in the gut, and JBL's getting ready to DDT him on the steps. And right before when he goes to DDT him, John Cena grabs a hold of the turnbuckle post, and just JBL flat back bumps on the steps.
And it looked like it hurt.
Oh, yeah, for sure, especially as fat as he is. Fat ass.
He wasn't fat, dude.
Look at that gut he has.
Umaga's fat.
Yeah, look at that gut he has on him, bro.
Yeah.
Umaga's Samoan. There's a difference.
You can't help him. He's got a weight problem. What the fuck's he going to do? You know?
I mean, yeah. He's just Samoan. JBL had a choice.
But yeah,
he played football.
Texas barbecue. Hello.
He lives in New York, though.
New York barbecue. Hello.
What?
Whatever. New York pizza.
JBL doesn't eat pizza. Look at him. He's too posh for that.
JBL is too posh for pizza.
Yeah, JBL is too posh for pizza.
Okay.
Wrestling aside, he has more money than both of us. He invests.
Dude, there's people in your apartment complex who have more money than both of us.
That's a damn lie.
Or is it?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because I know them.
You know everybody who lives here?
Yes. They're in my apartment complex.
So you know the previous senior bank accounts?
I know them. Lady Cross saw these oil change.
Oh, bad. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously. I'm the most superior rich person in this apartment complex.
You could pass for Indian. The Indians do really well in this country.
Thank you. Diggy, diggy. Nonetheless, that's racist for you to do. You don't look Indian. Sick bastard. Cena is tied up in the ropes. And what does JBL get, huh? What the hell does he pull out?
He pulls out a chain.
No. What else he pull out?
A towel?
A whip.
What the hell was that? You're right. What
he
the hell?
He pulled out a whip and he starts cracking the whip. And the look on John Cena's face is, dude, what the hell? He has a look on his face like, bro, this is not a part of what we're doing tonight. It's like 50 Shades of Grey. Like one of the shots that they get is like a shot from JBL, like kind of like walking like from behind. And it cracks.
All that's missing is that Goodbye Horses song by Lazarus. You know?
He just cracks the whip. I can just see like JBL going, shoot, hush your little mouth. You got pretty little lips, John.
I was like, it puts the lotion on your skin.
And John's like, please, 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 Mr. John Bradshaw Layfield. Please don't do this. Please. He, like, John, you know, John Cena goes from like John Cena to Marty McFly. He's like, oh, please don't do this. Please. Please. He just cracks the whip one time. He's like, shh. I'm going to make you squeal like a pig. And then meanwhile, John's tapping the ropes. He's like, ah! Oh, I can't know how pigs sound.
Sweet.
I don't know. I just turned that into some weird semi like erotic.
Yeah.
Sexual fantasy of JBL just whipping John Cena.
Okay.
Nonetheless, though, John Cena kicks him the balls.
Yeah, and so he walked forward. He has a chain at this point.
No, he had the whip. The chain was still on the ground because he punched John Cena in the ribs with the chain, and that's what got John Cena. And then John Cena was like, I'm going to whip you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to whip you real hard. Shit. And John Cena gets free, and John Cena takes the chain. He wraps it around JBL's neck. And for a second, he doesn't pull that choke. He pulls back pretty quick on it. You see JBL's kind of head just go,
oh.
And then JBL starts spitting up blood, and JBL loses the first blood match.
It's a first blood match, by the way. Did we even mention it was a first blood match? We just
did. It didn't feel like it.
No, it didn't. Because I would wrap some gauze and dip the gauze in glue.
And like Ian and Axel Rotten.
And just
have a tape eye fight.
Yeah.
Sexy.
It's disgusting.
Holy they. I give it a 3, man.
I also gave it a 3.
The ending was okay.
And there were many good spots.
I laughed really hard when you got the whip out. Some weird BDSM.
Yo,
shit.
Cena is a good actor.
Have you seen Peacemaker?
Yes, I have. I love that show.
Do you really want to do? You really want to taste it? Yeah. Oh, man. It's such a good song. I gave it a 3, man. This is just nothing to write home about. They've had better matches. JBL is a good worker. John Cena is a good worker. JBL is a good worker. But what the hell is this? You, sir, gave it a 3 as well?
I gave it a 3, sir.
Well, we'll follow up with the rest of this as soon as we get back from our sponsors.
Bye-bye.
What an ad that was.
It was a great ad. Give it up
for our ad guy. So let's get into the next match here. Melina, Beth Phoenix. This match is
awful.
Yeah, it was an I Quit match. A little bit of backstory here.
Do we have to?
Well, I'm going to try to. I really don't need to, actually. This really was just a submissions match. So it just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with different submissions. And then Beth Phoenix ends up pretzeling Melina. And Melina quits. And this is the first ever I Quit match in women's history.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That oh, televised at least.
Yeah. And you know what it was worth? A one. It sucked ass.
I gave it a two just because these people like can really get hurt doing what they do.
Well, yeah. That means every match is a two. So relatively, there should be no ones. So relatively, maybe a one should just be, hey, you could get hurt. I'm just saying. The system's flawed. It's a one.
Facts.
Both of these women end up having better matches than this soggy piece of horse shit.
Jesus.
Next match.
I give it a two.
Stretcher match. Shawn Michaels, Batista. I want you to give your opinions on this match.
Okay.
I got a few notes, but I would like to hear your opinion.
Batista went in this match. This match was 25
Shawn
minutes.
Shawn got his ass beat this entire time.
This is 25 minutes, this match.
I'll let you know right now. This match was 17 minutes and 3 seconds.
I beg your pardon. So it was just under 20 minutes, but that's the longest I've ever seen Batista go. He usually comes out, looks fantastic, does the little double guns at the top of the ramp, and then does a couple spears, and then it's a squash match, usually. But he looks like such a – he looks amazing. He looks like a cyborg. You know what I mean? He's terrifying. My guy Shane Michaels –
Sean,
my bigger part. I actually wrote Shane. I'm an idiot. Look, man, I was talking to him the other day, and I was like, dude, I was watching that Batista match, and you really kick your head in. And I was like, were you at all any different after that match? And he was like,
to me, Jesus, you know, like you said, to me, Jesus,
the man always giving insight.
He's a man of many words and so few at the same time.
Yeah, it says a lot, says a little at the same time.
Yeah. This was a good match. I don't like stretcher matches, and Jericho kept running out there, and Chris Jericho wearing a t-shirt that I believe I wore back in those days.
Yes, probably.
Probably
got it from Hot Topic.
No, I got to sit off somewhere.
I would say this guy probably got it from Ed Hardy.
It was probably an Ed Hardy shirt.
And probably smelled of
Dracar Noir, maybe.
I would say probably Axe Body Spray. The chocolate Axe Body Spray actually came out in 2008, I think, around that time.
Jeez, dude.
And it had the beautiful commercial of the chocolate man going around and everybody's taking a bite out of him.
Yeah, it was gross.
Smell irresistible. Axe chocolate.
That's disturbing. They actually sold body spray.
I had the body spray, too. It was called Dark Temptation.
I have one Axe. It's a fresh breeze or something like that. And I'll be honest, when I put it on, I'm going to work. I get the, oh, you smell good. So
if I find a Dark Temptation, I'll wear it.
Facts. I like Aqua di Gio by Armani. It's really, really good stuff.
I can't afford any of it.
Well, I mean, less is more. You can buy an $80 bottle. It's expensive, but it'll last you like 2 years. No joke.
Good point.
So anyway.
I'll invest that. Give me some ladies.
Damn right.
Or some ladies.
Some men.
No.
Yeah.
Just ladies, you silly goose. No, there's a moment here where I think you mentioned it where Shawn Michaels has already been Batista bombed twice. And
yeah.
He pulls him up and he looks at Shawn and says, I'm not sorry. I don't love you. Batista bomb again.
Thrice.
And at this point, he puts him on the stretcher and gets him up there. And Jericho comes out and he's like, Sean,
why didn't Batista just smash Jericho?
Because his beef is not with him. I'm trying to think what movie that's from. My beef is not with you. Can't think of the quote now. But Sean ends up falling off the stretcher. So Batista.
My beef is not with you.
He walks all the way back to the to the ringside and grabs the steps. The steps are probably the most frequented character in this entire card. He grabs the steps.
That's true.
He hits a spine buster to Shawn Michaels on top of the steps, and then he puts him back on the stretcher and pushes him over that line. Batista wins. And as Jim Ross says, he did not set out to beat Shawn Michaels. Or not Jim Ross, Mick Foley. He did not set out to just beat Shawn Michaels. He set out to hurt Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I think he, at least in a kayfabe world, he achieved this.
Yes, he did. He really did. And I gotta say, this was a good way to show the strength behind Batista and how brutal he can be, and just how violent he can really be. So I think it was a good touch. It was solid. It was a good match. But it only got a 3 for me, though, I will say.
Only got a 3 for me, bro. What the hell's going on? We used to argue and be dissenting with each other. Now it's like we're two you know, brothers. Happy, and we're saying it, and we're brothers. Give me a high five.
What is that from?
That's the Wayans Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that show. Okay. I'm not with the culture.
Neither am I.
I grew up watching Full House with Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner was a Golden State Nuggets. He was a Warriors fan.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he lived to see him get a ring at least once.
Wow, dude. Wow, that's a national treasure.
He's dead?
That's across the line.
I don't care.
That's across the line.
Dude, he got murdered by his family. It's not my fault.
It was head trauma.
He was murdered by his family.
The family doesn't want to disclose what
his
the head
family
trauma.
Murdered him.
Somebody hit him in the head with something.
I mean, he's murdered.
Facts.
It happens, bro.
Not facts. I don't know.
It happens. I'm sure he had a big old life insurance policy.
His face was bloated, and that, like, when you would see pictures of him, like, his face was nice and bloated. That's indicative of a fatty liver. So he was probably drinking a lot or drugging a lot.
Who knows, man?
Yeah,
who knows? Him, and he's dead.
I was gonna say a lot.
I give it 3. Well, yeah, that's it.
But I also give it a 3.
Next up, Triple H, Randy Orton. Talk about it.
Whoa. Okay. No, this wasn't an
last man standing match.
The last man standing. Yes. So they didn't have to pin one another.
Nope.
They just beat each other's brains in.
And if the opponent does not get by the count of 10, you win.
And it's not like 1, 2, 3. It's 1, 2, 3.
Oh, is that my?
Phone? 4. Really? That is stupid. Come on. It's
slow. It's 1 Mississippi.
It's 1 Mississippi, 1,000, 3,000, 2 Mississippi, 1,000, 3,000, 3 Mississippi, 1,000, 3,000, 4. I lost count.
I like that, bro. That's so sexy, bro.
That was some sexy music.
It was, bro.
You gotta make it sexy. You gotta make it pop, you know?
Yeah, make it provocative. Get people going.
Get people going.
So this, bro, come on now. This match was literally just using the steel steps and the announce table and an extension cord.
Yeah.
And Randy Orton goes for the RKO. And Triple H yeets his ass over the top rope.
Literally.
And Randy Orton legitimately breaks his collarbone, landing on the outside.
And he lays on the ground. I broke my collarbone. Oh.
And, like, they're, like, calling audible. So Triple H goes to the sledgehammer and hits him and back down.
And when he picks him up and at first he goes and bangs his head into the announcement table.
Yeah.
Announcement table. And you hear him say, oh, my collarbone. And he goes, okay. Like they acknowledge he knew, but the show must go on. This is wrestling.
This is the greatest show.
Go ahead. And that's when Triple H grabs that sledgehammer. And rushes forward and donks Randy Kenneth Orton.
Yes.
In the face with the shot, with the hammer part of the sledgehammer. 10 count. Last man standing was Triple H. What an amazing match.
Really?
What an amazing couple of athletes. Randy Orton. I don't like him personally. I don't like the expression. I wouldn't piss on him if you were on fire. I would laugh while pissing on him if you were on fire. But I'll put you out, you son of a bitch. I get the saying. I get it. But I'd pee on him and set him on fire. If he was set on fire, I'd pee on him and laugh about it. Without that. Again, Triple H is a pimp. Triple H is got to be in one of my Mount Rushmore. He's the GOAT. He got a girl to flash her boobs on television. That happened. That wasn't a pay-per-view. That was on
USA Network or Spike Network, whatever channel, he got a girl to pull her boobs out of her bra, like, on television. I love that guy, man. I love that guy.
So what'd you give the match?
Five bells, baby.
Really?
Five bells. Yeah, hell yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah. I love this. I love this.
Oh, see, you were worried about us not arguing. I gave it a two. Shit was boring until he broke his collarbone.
You're kidding.
I did not care until he broke his collarbone.
And that's why you gave it a two?
Yeah.
God, dude. These guys,
Triple H was so uninspired in this match.
They went back and forth the entire
Randy round. Orton had to do all the character work here. No wonder his collarbone's broken. He put the shit on his shoulders and carry it.
He had to carry Triple H, but Triple H could carry a big hammer.
Yeah, he had to call an audible and hit him with a hammer. Wow. Suck my left nut, Triple H. It sucked. Two.
It was dope.
Two.
Five. It was a five.
Two.
Whatever. You know.
A five? Maybe a proper finish to it.
I think I remember the ref counting.
I'm sorry. Would you give Mass Transit getting stabbed in the face 8 times a five? Yes. Of course you would.
He didn't get stabbed in the face. Hunter Red got stabbed 8-9 times.
No, Mass Transit was skeeting blood in the middle of the ring.
Literally.
He was skeeting it.
Skeeting blood all over the place. He only had one good cut on his forehead.
And he was still skeeting it.
Literally skeeting.
Such a fat titty. He's dead now anyway, so it doesn't matter. Two. I gave it two.
I gave it a five. You're wrong.
It's okay. Well, you're an idiot. No.
It's okay.
Main event here. We have Edge versus The Undertaker in a TLC match. I'm interested in your opinion. I getting your opinion first, and I'll fill in the blanks here in the match.
I don't like The Undertaker. The thing where they put their hands in mercy. He walks the ropes. And like,
old school.
I could do that too. I could do that right now with no training. If I climb up there and hold on, that's for the balance. And then he jumps and does an axe handle or something. And again, notorious underseller, notorious underwhelmer, The Undertaker. By the way, we here at the death at
the nose guard
pocket. We have a death pool going.
A death count.
A death pool.
Oh.
I think The Undertaker is going to die next. That's who I think is going down next. Not like he's going to fly off his motorcycle or choke on a chicken bone or something. You know what I mean? Poor Mark Hominick or whatever his name is.
Callow.
Mark Callow. Mark Callow. Or is Mark Gallo with a G?
No, it's Callaway.
Callaway?
Callaway.
I don't care.
You believe he will die?
I think he's going down next. He's the next wrestler who's going to, you know.
It is really interesting. And we're not trying to exploit anyone's death or be morbid or anything. But
we aren't. I am.
Of course you are. But what I'm saying is every time that we have mentioned someone dying on the podcast, they've died. We didn't mention Scott Hall. And that's obviously the biggest tragedy of all. But, like, I remember watching Royal Rumble 2006. And I was like, isn't Road Warrior dead? And then he died the next day.
The next day?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And we made a couple comments about New Jack being dead, and then he just died. But come on now, New Jack. But you're calling that Mark Holloway's going to die, and that's pretty messed up because he's kids.
I have a New Jack t-shirt. Multiple. He's dead. I have a Razor Ramon shirt. He's dead. Those are the two wrestling shirts that I own.
So you have a theory that every wrestler that you have a shirt of will die.
So today I ordered an Undertaker shirt.
You're such an asshole.
So maybe, hopefully, luckily, he'll be the next.
Why do you want him to die?
He's awful. He's awful, bro. He's undersells. Okay, 6'8", 6'10", whatever he is. I would divert eye contact if I was walking through the Wiggles or the Circle K or whatever they have in whatever part of the country you live. And he was walking down, I would back up and give him clear berth, let him get out of, I would get out of his way. He's a big dude. He's not a good wrestler.
So, he must die.
And I don't like him.
Okay. All right.
And he beat up Ric Flair's poor son.
The one that didn't die.
The one that didn't die.
So,
but anyway, this was like a table, ladder, chair
match. Yeah, and Edge does a splash from the announce table through the table onto Edge or onto Undertaker. Undertaker choke slams Edge on top of the ladder. That was a good spot there.
That was a good spot.
And then
Edge's girlfriends come out.
Yeah, Hawkins and Ryder, and then Undertaker kills both of them.
Yeah,
choke slams Hawkins through the table. Off
outside
the top rope,
outside,
and then he choke slams Ryder outside off the apron through the table.
That's right,
and that's hip damage right there.
And then
Taker power bombs Edge through two tables in the corner,
which Edge had to like this was a botch. Edge had to go, oh no, like because the one table fell off when
Hawkins,
the Underwhelmer, jumped up and grabbed the one guy who was supposed to, but the table that was on top, there was a table set up. The Underwhelmer was lying down like he was the opposite of the Undertaker, like he was a corpse, and they set up a table over him. Okay? And then like when he got up, he knocked the table over that was on top off. So then Edge had to spend 30 seconds totally had to let the show go on, but he spent about 30 seconds reapplying
yeah.
So it was, and that looked awful.
But he did get powerbombed through both of them.
He did get powerbombed through that.
And then Bam Neely and Chavo come out. They both get beat down by the Undertaker.
Good.
And then Taker is pushed off the top of the ladder through four tables on the outside of the ring, where he will remain until well after the show has carried on.
That's right.
And Edge retrieves the title.
He climbs the ladder. And also, Edge spears Underwhelmer off the ring apron, and he bangs his knee into the barricade.
Yeah.
And he starts, oh, my injured knee. Oh, my injured knee. Poor me. Where my injured knee? And so, like, the rest of the match, he's trying to climb up a ladder and really poorly selling his, oh, I got one leg at a time. Oh, my leg. Oh. And that's.
You really hate him, don't you?
I love the guy. Because I know that, like, I'm going to take out a life insurance policy on him when his shirt comes in the mail. Okay? I would gladly trade his life for knowledge of my powers.
Pal.
Okay?
Oh, shit. This is disqualified. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 4. It lost a point because I hate The Undertaker and because... Edge is a champ. He's not on my Mount Rushmore, but maybe my top 1,000 favorite wrestlers.
What the?
No, he's a champ. He is a champ. But an athlete. These guys are athletes. Heyo, and just the fact that he had to set up that table again, that really just killed me. I couldn't. It took me all the way out of the match. But it was a good match.
Let's slide to these awards.
Let's go.
Who's your MVP of the night?
Ah, Jeff Hardy.
I'm going with Jeff Hardy because he jumped off the 18-wheeler.
Hell yeah, bro. 18 feet.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
Nah, man.
Who is your least valuable player of the night?
Chavo.
Chavo, really?
Chavo was in there for a second. He came back to defend, Edge's honor or something. I don't know what was going on there. He came back in the ring for an appearance.
I'm
going
to give it to Melina.
Oh, Melina looked really great.
She sucked.
Yeah, but she does a split right before she comes into the ring.
But she didn't do anything.
The shape of that butt.
But she sucks.
She's in good shape.
She sucks. It's easy, sir. I don't need to argue with you. I know what I said.
I agree. But
yeah, well, I'm just saying she's the worst.
Okay.
Bitch.
You call me bitch, huh?
Yeah.
Call me bitch again.
Bitch.
Wow, man. I have feelings, dude.
Match of the night.
Triple H and RKO. That
was great. Undertaker Edge.
You're so stupid.
You're stupid.
God.
You gave a match that didn't have an actual finish, 5 bells, asshole.
It was number 1 in my heart.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, it was number 2 on my page.
Number 2?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
For shit.
Oh, instead of number 1 for P. But number, I'd rather take a number 2. Those feel awesome.
All right. What's your
worst? I was talking about pooping here.
Yeah.
You want to go talk about the podcast that we're recording? What's
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of line, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Right. Number what's your worst match of the night?
The worst match was Beth Phoenix versus Melina.
I agree.
That was pretty bad.
Up top. That was a high five.
Yes, it was. Spot of the night, your moment of the night. Your highlight of the night.
Jeff Hardy with that front, the Swanton off the top of the butt. It only got a 4.5. It only lost because of the camera angle. You don't want to see a guy do that on the concrete.
Yeah, you don't want to see a guy crash by it either. It looks like she is.
Right.
But it was the camera angle. They did what they had to do. It was Extreme Rules.
What if he would have missed? That'd be a Dark Side of the Ring episode.
For sure. He'd been a wheelchair.
He'd be dead, probably.
Jeff Hardy.
Just like the girl that's hanging out the window and got her head taken with the sign.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well. Yeah, well. Yeah. Don't work anymore because it's just bones.
He's a surgeon.
He's paralyzed. What's your low light of the night?
What, my botch of
the night? Low point, your botch. I'm going to give it to Randy Orton legitimately breaking his collarbone.
I'm going to give it to Edge having to reposition the table on top of the table. That was
that took you more out of it than Randy Orton breaking his fucking collarbone.
Randy kept going for a couple minutes, man.
He just stopped and goes, "Oh, my collarbone hurts."
But right when we were watching it, I will break.
Well, give me a tampon.
I'll break the no DQ kayfabe, and I will say we were watching it. You were like, "That's got to be the worst pain. That's like a whole part of your frame gets cracked." Damn, you
called me on
it. Yeah, and he did this a little bit, and then when he was walking out, a kid like confronted him and everything, yeah, and like got slapped around by the security pretty bad.
That's pretty funny.
That was pretty funny.
That is my botch though, breaking his collarbone. I think you only back to the point that it's worse than resetting up tables, but we each have our own opinions. Good to hear that. What's your final grade for the night?
This got a 3.5.
I'm with the 3.
Are
you introducing halves and points back into
the for my total, I actually do it mathematically.
And I hit right on 3.5. You can't round up on that. You're right there in the middle.
Right in the middle.
In the middle with you.
It might be because of the 4.5 that I gave to Jeff Hardy and Omega. That was a good match.
That's true. That's true. It's true for sure. All right. Well, listen, this has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. And we've covered One Night Stand 2008. San Diego, California. A night of injuries.
San Diego.
A night of disappointments.
Yeah.
But most of all, it was a pretty solid show.
It was a good
show. So, it's been the Squad Podcast. I'm Adrian.
I'm Laszlo.
Chica chica.
One love.